A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wake up in the morning feeling like...
Waterman is extremely well.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
I always nearly press the leave meeting button.
Nearly press it. You did press it the other week. Anyway, hi tryhards. We're back.
Are we starting?
We've started, okay. Yeah.
We are back.
We are back. Nolly wasn't very well last week, so we... did not infiltrate your inboxes, but we are delighted to have returned this week for more great chat.
And there's been so much going on.
We've got
some news.
We have got some news. And, you know, it's news that I love to tell the listeners because I know that they are as enthusiastic about this as we are. Match Pint is back, friends.
It is let the competition begin. And actually, that reminds me, we also have another competition to talk about.
Stay tuned. You've actually remembered that, so I'm going to make sure that we do that at the end of the pod today, which I've thought every week so far. But Match Pint has returned. There are already 8 people in the Tryhards League. You're not one of them, but I went on earlier on.
We agreed on email like 4 seconds ago that we would be part of it again.
But I think by definition, tryhards are the kind of people who are going to sign up to that league as quickly and as early as they can. So welcome to the league, the people who are in there with me. Nolly has not yet joined us, but she will be joining the party. Obviously, standards have been incredibly high over previous tournaments from the tryhards throng. And there will be prizes throughout. I'm going to be sending some socks down to Match Pint HQ that they will then send out because we can't be trusted to do that kind of thing. I've already put my predictions in for the first weekend. 2 games, Scotland, Tonga, Wales, New Zealand. I'm not going to tell you what scores I've put in, but I will tell you that I've done identical scores.
Oh, nifty. I'm just thinking, we've got some new listeners. So do you want to quickly run down the Match Pint game and rules and stuff?
Well,
I mean, it's not very hard.
You're so well versed in it. Why don't you take that baton, Danielle?
Okay. So, Match Pint app, guys, get it. It's yellow with a red MP.
Black.
There we go. Great start. Black MP. It will be under Guinness Pint Predictor. Go on there. Log in.
It will ask you what team you support.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean necessarily the one that's going to win. It's just the one that you support. So obviously LJ goes to Wales.
You can put probably neutral won't. Though you can put oh, neutral yeah
okay and then a little flag comes up next to you, doesn't it?
And right? It means that you go into the league for the nation that you've selected as well.
Oh well, anyway, so all you do is you can sign up to be part of Match Pint generally, and drum roll please, the first year we did this, we actually had the overall winner of the whole shebang globally. Yeah, that is right. So tryhards, we've got an awesome league. The pin code for our league is tryhards.
Tryhards.
Yeah. Right. And then all you do is just, you don't, you don't just guess the winner, but you guess the points difference, which is quite good, really, because actually you don't need to guess the score because that can get a bit like faffy. So it's just basically the points difference. You can go for a cheeky draw, which every now and again I do, but
yeah,
haven't seen many of those. Seen a few of them in the Premiership, but
yeah,
so many internationally.
You select who's going to win and by how many. It's that simple. If you are within 3 points, you win a pint of Guinness. If you are within 7 points, you win a pint to gift to another player on the app.
Nice. So we're back to 3 points in a way, because we weren't allowed them in there. Well, we weren't allowed them in lockdown, were we?
Pubs are open.
Cool.
When I logged in earlier on, it asked me if I was in the Eli Jenkins pub. I was pretty upset to say no. I've just got out of the bath. Actually, that was an option. I just pressed no. Anyway, I look forward to earning many, many pints and consuming them through the autumn. But I went to a wedding on the weekend and I didn't drink. Stayed off the sauce for the wedding. Can you believe that?
How did you get on?
I actually had a great time.
Were you a sappuccino?
No, I wasn't a sappuccino. Got up and sang, obviously, with the band. So...
I actually just had like neck crawl from that. Like,
why?
You got up and sang with the band.
Yeah, because I'm a great singer.
What did you sing?
We did Islands in the Stream, and then I sang Little Mermaid, obviously.
Please don't do that. I'm not going to give you any capacity to do that at my wedding.
Simone's already booked me. Simone's already booked me. We've agreed a set list. I'm learning
Italian. He's a talent.
I'm learning Italian songs. So take it up with your fiance. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Is there any Bocelli numbers?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. I don't know. They're a work in progress. I also, do you know what? It was one of those things where it was quite a small and intimate wedding, but I have this thing all the time where I just think that rugby makes the world such a small place. So one of the girls who I'm friends with, who was at the wedding, Jade, her fiance, Tom Cobb, is a Canadian.
And Cobby.
He teaches at Seaford College. So obviously I was like, oh, do you know Di Rees? You know Di Rees, Nolly, from Hong Kong. Do you remember Di Rees? You met Di Rees in Hong Kong, do you remember?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Right. And obviously you went through a few different people, mutual contacts, and then it turned out my friend Lorcan, one of Try Hard's podcast biggest fans, also knew Cobby. And I just love that if you meet another rugby person, you will have mutual friends with them.
I mean, I feel like
no matter where in the world they're from, you will have mutual friends with them.
Yeah, I feel like that was a solid half an hour of going through. Well, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know her? Do you know
him? You know what? It wasn't actually. So when he said he was at Seaford College, I said, oh, you must know Di Rees. And we had like the kind of Canada rugby chat, people who we knew, DTH and Jamie Cudmore, people like that, fine. And then when we were having dinner, I was having a conversation with my other friend, Kerry's husband, Johnny, about... London Irish fans, and I said about you get a lot of people who are like third generation Irish in London. They've only ever like born and brought up in Wimbledon, and they've got names like Lorcan and Kieran. That was my exact line. And Cobby was like, I know Lorcan. I was like, there's more than one Lorcan. And he got a picture up on his phone and just held it up, and I was like, yeah, that is who I'm talking about. So weird.
Yeah.
And they knew each other.
Conversation. No, we don't need any more. I mean, I'm
no, they knew asleep, each other so through playing rugby at King's, who lent us the gazebo for the summer social.
Oh,
just rugby community in action all the time.
Blue and orange gazebo. What a joy. It was like you're in a really weird space when you're in that, when the sun was shining.
I thought it was very appropriate. Blue to represent the Azuri, orange to represent the fire service. These things don't happen by accident.
Slash tryhards. So just quickly, because I know that you wanted to say, well, I think we're going to talk about London Irish actually. So I'm going to quickly diversify just away from this conversation. Because I've been doing a few little shifts at the hotel up here in the Highlands just to help out. Dusted off the old...
Coaching rugby at the hotel?
Just dusted off some waitressing skills, and one of my first lines was, I can only carry one plate in each hand because my thumbs dislocate, which obviously went down well with the other.
You know what, when I'm about to eat fine food, that's what I like to hear. I really love hearing about unstable joints.
But I had to explain why I was so bad at, like, they all, like, some of the waiting staff are like clever and they burn all their forearms and lose all their fingerprints by picking up all these hot plates. I literally am rubbish and I can only take one plate in each hand. Anyway, I met a couple, lovely couple, the McNabs, and we were chatting, and I said, oh, you know, this isn't my usual job, waitressing. I do work a bit in sport. And they said, oh, which sport? And I said, rugby. And then they said, oh, do you know, said something. And they said, oh, do you know of Rory Lawson? I said, yeah, I do actually know him. I've met him a few times. He's a great bloke. I've got a friend that claims to be his bestie. and their son went to school with Rory, and she's best friends with his mum. So we had a lovely conversation about Rory. When I messaged him the next day to say who I'd met, he said, and I said, obviously they were talking nicely about you, but I tried to make sure that they knew that that wasn't true. And he said, it's amazing how you can convince people that you're actually a good guy when you're mates with their son. And then another couple, we were chatting, and they knew a female rugby player. They were called the McKinleys. And we were talking, and they know Steph Johnson, who I knew through Scotland Rugby, Team GB training camp, and just all round amazing woman. Very bright, another one, very bright. She's a vet and was a rugby player. Yeah, and they knew Steph and her family. So there we go. Couple of
I do feel
links.
Like rugby, the rugby community, and rugby as a sport, whilst being a niche sport and being quite small, there is a kinship that goes with it. And as soon as you mention rugby, you will find a mutual acquaintance or something or a place or something like that. And I love that.
It does get me when people say, oh, like if I said, you know, I was a player or whatever, they said, oh, I know someone that's played for England Women. I'm like, oh, okay. And they say someone that I've never heard of. And I'm like, I'm then saying, oh no, they haven't. I know literally everyone that's been capped between probably around Red Rose number 50 and to current to present day. And then they look at me as if I'm lying and I don't know anything and I've never played for them, because they're this person that they know has played for England. And then it transpires they've actually played for Southeast under 16 county.
Yeah. Do you know what? I can say this because none of them listen, but one of my cousins, her ex-boyfriend claimed to have played for England under 20s. And her mum would be like, oh, I'm not going to mention his name, played for England under 20s. And I was like, oh, no, he hasn't. And they were like, yeah, he's got the shirt. I was like, what? He's got an England shirt. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but I promise you. They were like, well, you don't know everyone who's played rugby. I'm like, no, I don't know everyone who's played rugby, but I can absolutely categorically tell you he has not played rugby for England under 20s. Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah. I accept that. But you are talking about a pretty high level of rugby, of which the Junior World Championships every year are a fully televised event, which I have worked on. He has not played for England in the 20s. And to this day, he would go on to, unfortunately, end their relationship in a very bad way, of which he was obviously the bad guy in all of this. They still believe him over me. They still will not accept it when I say he did play for England in the 20s.
Oh, claiming McClaimson. As if he had a shirt as well. Tell you what, you could start doing that now you're fit bod and looking closer to Fleeto's sister. Because you've got, you were wearing your New Zealand Maori vest. I mean, you could maybe qualify for.
And I have my sari.
You've got a Japan jacket shirt.
Yeah, I have my saris jacket on when I might just say I play a bit of Prem 15s. and do you know what? I'm probably going to be like, what I'm going to be is like, yeah, I play Prem 15s. And people will be like, oh, do you play for Wales? No, like for me, it's like the time commitment is too difficult because like international camps are full weekends and I work a lot of weekends in my job and they only let me have time off to play Prem 15s. And basically, like, I told the union that I couldn't take 5 weeks off work to go to the World Cup next year. So they've just frozen me out of the squad completely. And I am probably their best option at 10. No offense, Snowy. So, you know, I reckon I could make people believe that.
What position?
10, obviously. You know that.
Do you know?
10, socks down, gloves on.
Oh God. Anyway,
do you know what? Yeah, and do you know what? Before we talk about London Irish, it's actually a really good way to bring up. I know that obviously we made the documentary earlier this year, and we talked about trolling in it, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, what women go through on social media and the trolling that they are the victim of. And I would just like to, you know, kind of bare my soul today and talk about the trolling that I suffered about my new pink trainers, which Sean O'Brien sent me the most horrible message saying that they were awful. And I told him they were the cheapest ones. And then he called me a cheapskate. So, Shawnee, that's not okay.
Slid into the DMs to tell you directly as well.
He literally like sent me a DM and he was like, what are those? I won't actually say what he said because there was some expletives in it, because he was so appalled at the vibrancy of my new Flaming Flamingos, my new Asics, which I thought were called Oasics until very recently, because the logo,
oh no,
like it's Oasics. And I actually, in an interview with an Australian rugby player, said, are you still sponsored by Oasics? And they were like, oh, it's Asics. I think in the UK it's called Oasics actually, bud, but all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh god, you're so cringe.
Yeah. But yeah, talking about Irish.
There was one positive guy from London Irish at the weekend, whooping and hollering, and Mick Mullins did the best tweet that BT Sport are always fair. They're not biased. They're not biased with their commentary or anything like that, but they had to give it to Topsy that London Irish went down to Exeter Chiefs and beat them for the first time ever by the biggest margin, and then they followed it up with a tweet and picture of Topsy with his arms in the air just going wild for it.
I love it. You know what? I love Topsy because he is one of the nicest men in the world, but he is somebody who represents something in the professional era that is quite rare. And don't get me wrong, there's lots of one club men in the Premiership, but Topsy has got a different kind of affinity to his club and to London Irish, and he's, you know, man and boy London Irish, and he's an absolute legend of that club. And I love that he is continuing to be a huge supporter of them, not just in terms of cheering and hollering at Sandy Park over the weekend, but, you know, he's got the new bar down at the new ground and is doing something for supporters down there. And has also promised me he's going to bring it on the road to Cardiff. Bring the 301 bar down to Cardiff.
Well, he is actually part of the coaching setup down there, I think. Mm. And he's doing stuff with all of like the whole kind of thing as an ambassador and that type of stuff. So yeah, no, it's cool. It's nice. And I think it's giving him an opportunity to really, having spoken to him when we're working together with Channel 4. In fact, when we got engaged, he was the first person outside of Simone, obviously had seen the ring, but he was the first person to actually see it. Because I met him about 4 hours later, having driven down to the airport to fly over to Ireland to commentate. And he was like, oh, how are you? I was like, yeah, I got engaged. Like, and he's like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah, like a couple of hours ago.
That's so funny.
Anyway, what was I going to say? Bar in Cardiff would be good. It looks pretty good. It looks popular.
It does look great. I was a little bit worried in the summer, though, that we were going to have like a massive like fallout of our friendships with Topsy, because he coaches Nigerian exiles in the sevens, and I thought they were going to be up against our boys at Summer Social, but luckily that was avoided, and to this day we remain friends with Topsy, because that would have been, you know, we'd have had to cut him off. We would not have been friends with him. So
so just moving on from non-biased commentary, he was good in the commentary box as well, so it's really good to see that. But I had, before I got ill, I had my mum and Rich come up to stay. Big Sue, second trip up to the Highlands. Rich is first. And every time we were driving over a hill, on the way back from the airport, it was pretty grim, actually. The weather wasn't great. But then I took them off to various different places. Beach up in Durness, called Bound the Keel. And Rich is like this crazy bird watcher, which is mad because he is super colorblind. And so knows birds from the wingspan and not the colouring, but their song. I was like, weird. Wow. Anyway, we were down on the beach and a golden eagle flew over him. And he basically said that it was the best beach, not just for the eagle, but it was the best beach he's ever been to in the UK. So yeah, I was really proud. And then my mum loves hot chocolate. And on the way back, there's a place called Cocoa Mountain that sells the most ridiculous hot chocolate. I'm not a massive fan, but most ridiculously amazing, rather expensive hot chocolate, but it's worth it. And there's lots of little arts and crafts place. So it was an old military base that's been changed into homes with workshops and a little store, I mean little shops. And like, some mate, I love stuff like that. I mean, I could potter around it for hours. And I had no idea it was there. And mum is exactly the same as me. Yeah. And Rich hates it. So anyway, we were like pottering around. And we came across one guy that we met that was linked to some of the stuff up there. And we got back and Simone had said, I said, oh, you know, who's met and bits and pieces. And he said, oh. And I was like, oh, have you heard of this person? And he was like, yeah. And like looked a bit kind of, was like a bit shell-shocked. And I was like, oh, he's really nice. Like we were chatting and he was like, he's a German porn star. And what?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I did not know that that's where that story was going. I thought you were going to say, oh, he died 2 years ago and it was a ghost. But German porn star is way better.
So my stepdad. What,
and Sue didn't recognize him.
in a previous life. But he was a lovely guy. Anyway, really nice. We obviously didn't discuss his past. But what makes me laugh is now my stepdad, who is like a proper, like quite well-spoken man from the Southwest, countryside sons, has the place that he claimed was the best beach in the UK was the same place he met a German porn star, which I just think is amazing.
That's brilliant. That is absolute gold. Oh, wow. Can I just say something though? I thought golden eagles were mythical.
No, they're real.
I thought they were like griffins. Wow.
So the gold is actually under on their chest and across on the bottom. So really, when they fly, and if they directly fly over you, but Rich was telling me all about how you can tell the difference. And there's also sea eagles that are massive. This he thinks was a young one because it wasn't that big, but the colouring and the wings and stuff like that, I don't know. I mean, he's telling all of it. I was really interested. I haven't absorbed all of it, but I will continue to learn.
I look forward to finding out more. Well, I mean, this feels like a weird segue because I was going to then say, now that we've chatted about that, let's talk about work. And I went to go and see Sean Fitzpatrick last week, but I feel quite uncomfortable going from German porn stars to Sean Fitzpatrick. There we go. I went to see Fitzy last week. The big dog himself went to the house in Surrey, made me a fantastic coffee from an espresso.
That photo of you, by the way, the photo of the two of you, fantastic. You look very pretty. He looks great. Great angles, and it's also sunbeams.
I know. Lovely. He took that. Takes a great selfie does Fitzy. Took that to send to Grace. I'd already sent like 10 photos of myself in the house to Grace just to show her that I was there. I didn't tell him that. But yeah, we sat down and talked about,
does he have good soap in the bathroom?
I didn't go to the toilet. I only go for a wee twice a day, you know that. Why would I have used the toilet in his house? I had a wee before I left, I had a wee when I came home. Like,
oh my God, you're such a camel. But the storage of camels, that not
the one, my big hemp.
Got a couple of them. I feel like he's the type of person that would have great soap.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Bronny buys high quality soaps. I'm sure that we can, like, probably not like Molton Brown, but like, I don't know, like a higher level than that.
Yeah, like a small independent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we basically sat down for Scrum 5 to talk about the imminent arrival of the All Blacks in Cardiff. Well, actually, some of the squad came on Friday, the rest come tomorrow. And it's weird because it's a double-edged sword. Like, I'm 50% like, oh God, I get to watch the Hacker in the stadium on Saturday. And it's like, what an occasion. And then the other half, I'm like, oh, we're going to get mauled by the All Blacks again. Like, it's weird. I don't get the same excitement for Autumn Internationals that I do for Six Nations. Like, I don't, by Friday morning, the Six Nations week, I have like so much like hope and joy coursing through my body. Like, this is going to be a great 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Whereas when it's the autumns, I'm like, it's cold and wet and we're going to get absolutely thumped.
What was the year that the All Blacks, there was all of that kerfuffle with the All Blacks not being allowed to do the Hacker?
I reckon it's 2008. I was on my gap year. I got absolutely, I went out with my cousin before the game, went for dinner in La Fosse. Do you remember La Fosse on the Hayes? It was like a brasserie. And I was absolutely, oh, not in a good way. And then they did the Hacker in the change rooms just to really ruin my day. I was sick. Not because of that. But you know what? It's an interesting. I went for a walk with Laura Prosser, former Wales scrum half, last night. My current PT, and we were talking about it. And actually, there was a piece in the Telegraph about whether the Hacker's kind of had its day, and I completely agree that the Hacker is an important cultural moment for Kiwis, and it absolutely should remain as part of the build-up to a game. However, I don't really understand how their culture trumps ours in terms of being Welsh, where song is our culture. And I still strongly believe that we should be able to sing our anthem back to them when they're in our stadium. So they can perform their Hacker, but we get to sing our anthem as the last word before kickoff at our home game. What are your thoughts?
I think, like, yeah, I mean, I suppose is one of the reasons why, because of where you're stood, do you know what I mean? Because you move to the Hacker, and then the way that where they perform the Hacker is use the halfway line as a divide. Mm-hmm. I think I've told you before when we played New Zealand in the 2010 World Cup, which I was dredging through photographs of. I really wanted one with a terrible haircut. Some say great hair, great style. Yeah, anyway, for the World Cup bid. But we were told quite categorically, if you step over that halfway line,
yeah,
you will be fined tens of thousands of pounds by, as was the IRB.
Yeah.
And there's this amazing photograph of Sophie Hemming, like leaning her face over the line but not stepping over. It's like one of those, you know, when you're as a kid, you were like, go, don't step over there, and you'd like, yeah, put your toe over. I was like, we'd been talking about it the night before because you were like, can we just do it? And our team manager Gemma was like, don't, Nolly, don't. Fisher, don't put your foot over the bloody white line. So yeah, is it logistics because you're then naturally in it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether, why is it, what, like, what is the reason that they get to do it after the anthems? I don't know. What came up when Wales, when they did it in the change room?
So that was the whole argument. So Wales said, okay, we would like to sing our anthem after you've done the Hacker. And it must have been sanctioned because it was the All Blacks who said no and said, no, 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 we have to do it last. So it had to have been sanctioned by the IRB as it was then. But it was the All Blacks who said, no, 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 we'll do it in the change rooms if we can't do it last.
Oh, so it was them putting their foot down.
But you know what? I'm hosting, co-hosting with Chris Wath in the sports show on Radio Wales on Friday night. And I actually want to talk about it on the show. So please tune in to Radio Wales. We will be on air from 7 till 10. doing a rugby preview from about 8 through to 9:30. First hour, we're going to talk about football. So I know that you'll be ready and raring to listen to that bit.
Yeah, I'll be tuning in.
On DAB.
And well, that kind of links in nicely to the rugby that's just happened, actually, with with the All Blacks, the Black Ferns, sorry, playing Wales and the under-20s.
Yeah.
Because I'd be interested to know whether, because there wasn't really anything made of it from the Welsh side, England under-20s, it was all kept under wraps, apart from you kind of picked up on it if you followed the Black Ferns girls on their socials, like, game day tomorrow!
Yeah. I'm really interested as to whether it was meant to be behind closed doors. I'd been told by a couple of the girls that it was happening. The union definitely didn't tell us, but it wasn't like it was a secret. So I don't think it was
saying hard or us being you and your mum or
the media.
You and Karen.
The media, darling. So yeah, it was interesting. I actually messaged Portia Woodman afterwards. There you go, pick that name up. And said, how was it, how were the girls? And she said they like really bought their fire, that they were really good. So pleasing to hear that the girls seem to have had a great time, and it was a really worthwhile hit out for them. Obviously the Black Ferns are in Wales's World Cup pool next year, so yeah, it was
opening. Is it the opening round? No, it's not the opening round, actually. They New Zealand play Australia.
They play them at Whangarei. At the very culturally significant place of Whangarei. Probably saying that wrong. That's where Wales play them, second game.
I'm just interested to know whether they did the haka. Because like whether they did do it as a sign of respect, but because they're behind closed doors, because I saw there was like snippets on the Black Ferns Instagram stories and you saw them running out, but England were huddled, so it looked a bit more casual. England 20s were wearing the blue strip, they weren't wearing the white, which I think I don't know why they did that, but I'd love to see that game. And it was, you know, again, results were only published on the Black Ferns Instagrams, and then obviously got picked up by other people, but there are quite a few girls in that England under 20s involvement, looking at the team sheet, looking at the photograph that was posted of players that looked like they were wearing playing kits. Some of them might not have played, but a big handful of those girls have been in with seniors. So it'll be interesting to know, you know, someone like Emma Singh, the fullback from Gloucester Hartbury, whether she got the 3 points on the board. But yeah, you know what, from a Wales perspective, I think it's brilliant. You know, there is so much to gain from a game like that for them, really. Yeah. And for the 20s, you know, what was really cool is seeing Amy Turner, who is actually part of the coaching setup for the World Cup. So she's their intern for England. Yeah. She leads the under-20s programme. And so she would have had an opportunity to lead an international side, yes, it was the 20s, but against the Black Ferns, and just from a coaching opportunity, I just think it's brilliant. I mean, she is an amazing coach. She's a wonderful, wonderful, I mean, still to this day we'll say she's the most skilled player I ever got to play with, just in terms of all of her tricks and everything, the way that she ran the game. So yeah, I'm sure it was pretty awesome from her perspective as well.
I think from Wales's point of view, it means that they have actually got game time under their belts with Ioan Cunningham going into these autumn games now. So obviously we know that they were an interim coaching staff that have been made permanent, but that was without a game being played. It means that they now go into the Japan game, which is a week on Sunday, the day after Wales men play South Africa. Tickets available for the Arms Park. I implore people to get down there. There has been a huge amount made of how much international tickets are costing this autumn. Do not forget that you can go and watch an full international game at a fraction of the price. And the weekend after that, when Wales play on the Sunday, Wales women play on the Saturday at the Arms Park, a lunchtime kickoff against Canada, one of the best teams in the world. You will not find a better value for money ticket in Wales this autumn than that game. So get down there, please, folks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I do want to pick up on Red Rose's stuff with you. I'm really interested on your take on what might happen with captaincy roles this autumn for England. We know that Sarah Hunter has been playing well for Loughborough Lightning and is set to come back in, but obviously Poppy Cleal was the player of the tournament in the Six Nations and was playing at number eight. So where do you think England's back row is as we go into this four test series? Have they got four games? Or three?
Yeah, two against the Black Ferns, Canada and America. So they've got four. You know what? It's interesting because you look at Loughborough's results and they've been shocking. And I've spoken to three or four of the players from England players and stuff. And they've all said that Sarah Hunter has been their best player, which is really, really good to hear. You know, she's a senior player. She's had a long time out of injury, all sorts of problems with like nerve damage and loads and loads of rubbish. Yeah. So it's good to hear. And it's good to hear that she's playing regularly, because that's something she's always, like in recent, you know, years, 5, 6 years, she's struggled to gain that game time. So, you know, she has been the captain for a number of years. You know, she was captain when I was playing, and I think the armband will go to her. What I am interested in is that the makeup of that back row. Like you say, I think Poppy will be on the field, whether it's at six or eight, which way round they play those two, because actually from the base, although Sunter's got the experience, Poppy's got the pace and the skill set, handling wise to shift it. I think there's a couple of players that have picked up injuries in the back row, so it, that dynamic. And actually England women are very similar to England men in that they've got players that play across the second row back row. So someone like Harriet Miller-Mills, a great example, very, very athletic player, quite similar probably to someone like Courtney Laws, you know, can run a line out, unbelievable line out option, but can play in the back row, is fit, quick, runs, you know, handling all that stuff. So yeah, I think back rows and Sean. I think the other one that's really interesting is fly half, because yeah, with Katie Daly-McLean out, Helena Rowlands was in, and that's, you know, she had the shirt. Zoe Harrison got the 12 shirt. That's where they were kind of playing her for quite a while, with Amber Reid out injured. Amber's back. Amber's playing really well at club. She's really started to fire now, especially in that Quinns game, was like insanely good. It's only because Berner scored what, or set up one of the most ridiculous tries in the history of front row, that she pipped her for player of the match. So where am I going with this? Zoe Harrison, in my opinion, is a much better 10 than she is a 12. She plays 10 at Saracens, just like Owen Farrell plays 10 at Saracens. They both play bloody well in the 10 shirt, and then England pick them at 12 because they've got a 10. Now, I think if you look at form, Helen has come back from 15s. She is she will be world class. She hasn't hit that form yet, like anywhere close to that form yet, which is fine. You know, Loughborough struggling, but Zoe has been playing really well for club.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting one. She's a far more kind of, she's a very different player, far more territorial with her kicking, much bigger, you know, bigger kick than Helena. Probably a little bit like more experience than Helena in that 10 shirt. But then saying that, Helena's got, you know, defensively is solid as, and it's got a real spark about her. So yeah, that 10 shirt I think is the one that I'm really interested in, especially because Meg Jones has stayed with the 7 setup.
How much of a loss, and it does feel like it's the headline for England, but I think would be remiss not to mention it, when you're facing the Black Ferns, how much is of a loss is Scaz?
Well, it's massive. You know, she's world class. I think, you know, a lot of the younger girls look to her. You know, the coaches look to her to create something from nothing. You know, and she has got that potential. I don't think we've seen the best of Scaz in the last kind of year or so. I think she, you know, she on her standards didn't perform that well in the Six Nations. But she is somebody that will get you over the game line. She will marshal that defensive position, which is going to be so crucial for the England team, because the New Zealanders will carve you up in from 13, 15 and wing if you don't get that connection right. And also, it's not just what she provides England, it's what other teams know about her. They know that's Emily Scarrett, you know, and her kicking game. You know, she's the most casual kicker that can slam it down the field 50 metres or kick a penalty. You know, there are other girls that can do it, but she's just much, much calmer. So obviously she's been around for 80 odd caps now. So
is her loss a psychological one for England as well?
I think probably more so, yeah. In if you look at that back line in particular, the back line that didn't perform well in the Six Nations, really, in given the talent they have. You know, those girls are amazing. And Abby Dow is going into this series in the best form I've ever seen her. She was outstanding in the Six Nations, so it'd be great to see her. You know, I'm hoping Lydia Thompson's fully fit, ready to go and go, because having her up against Portia, you know, the rerun of that of Lydia try against Portia is something that has dazzled the social media channels in the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I think, you know, one thing I will say about the game, you know, I might be working on it, I'm not quite sure yet, whether I'm down in Sandy Park. One, if I was there, if I am there, it's going to be quite emotional for me. It's the one place I wanted to play. So to play the world champions there is, that's a quite a bitter pill for me, because I, you know, that's one game I just would have loved to have played in the full set. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But also, any prep I do for any game, I will always look back at the last game those two teams have played. And that's a World Cup final I didn't play in. So Sarah Orchard tweeted about it today, because she's commentating and there's been a bit of conversation around, oh, they can't remember the game and stuff. I can't remember the game I was in the and I've seen clips of it in analysis for the following year, just in terms of building on our performance. I won't watch that game back, and it's a weird one, which is strange for me. It's the first time I've come up to that, you know, but emotionally, it's amazing how I'm still, it's brought back emotions that I didn't know were there. And actually, interestingly, looking back, I talked earlier about the 2010 World Cup, trying to find hideous photographs of my hair. with the announcement that the RFU have put in the bid for the World Cup in 2025. And again, it brought back some real mixed memories and emotions for me, because playing in a home World Cup was one of the best experiences of my career. But losing in a World Cup final at home is also one of the worst memories. That coupled with the fact I finished, I think I've said on the pod before, went over to go and see my family, went to the tunnel, they were sat above the tunnel, and one of the girls, Siobhan Longdon Hughes, came over and was like, Nolly, I'm at Hartbury, I'll see you next week. I was like, oh God. Anyway, that's enough emotion.
Do you know what? I know I keep banging this drum on the pod, and I know that we're preaching to the converted a bit with this, but the reality is that all of the men's Autumn Nations Cup for the home nation, so exclusively of Ireland, because obviously that's on Channel 4 and you'll be involved in that, is on pay-to-view television. The England women's and Wales women's games are free to air across the BBC this autumn, and I really hope that we see a huge amount of people not just watching it, but really engaging with women's rugby. And the fact that we are going to see the Red Roses face the Black Ferns twice is massive. And I've got no doubt that people are going to casually tune into the first match and race to watch the second. So yeah, let's hope that.
You're going to see the quality of the coaching as well, right? Because you get two shots at a team a week apart. You learn a hell of a lot in the first week and see what they come up, what strategies they come up with. Not just the players, but how the coaches select, all of those things. Like, it's fascinating.
And obviously the Black Ferns have got France back to back then in the 2 weeks that follow. But this is a hard tour for them.
Yeah, it's tough. It will, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how they come through it physically, having not played a lot of rugby. You know, there was bits we've seen over socials, and you know, they'll talk about the fact that with lockdowns and stuff like that, the Palmer Farmer Cup makes more sense in my brain that it's the Palmer Farah Cup. That's why I always have to repeat it. It's the Farah.
Don't Palmer. Say Farah. Say Farah, like Farah. Farah Palmer Cup.
She's legend of the game.
Also the FPC.
Yeah, if you're an absolute nose. Anyway, I think, like you say, having it on BBC is absolutely brilliant. And I just hope that people watch it for women's rugby. Don't compare it to men's rugby. And don't compare. We're not many men. We are women playing in our own way. And I think I get so fed up of people. And you know what? It was amazing. So there was two tries scored on a weekend, and someone put on their social media, and one was a guy, and they basically bust through all these tackles and beat, and there was like, tackling wasn't great. The defense wasn't great, but they scored this amazing try. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's epic. Yeah. And then exactly the same for a women's game. And it might have been Jazz Joyce's try. I'm not quite sure who it was. And they were like, oh, the defense is so bad. And it was fascinating. Yeah. So they screenshotted the two comments. And so what I'm hoping is that people don't see it and look for the negatives. They look to enjoy the game. They look to enjoy the successes, the athleticism. We didn't talk about it, but the 13 shirt is an interesting one. Just finishing, I'm wrapping up on that. But Holly Aitchison, she plays in across that 10, 12, 13 positions. Wonderful talent. Is it going to be too much of an ask for her to get her first cap in a position like 13? Yeah. Emily Scarrett, seen as Emily Scarrett's shirt against the Black Ferns, that's going to be hard going. But she's played in big games.
And Holly's slight.
Yeah. So then do you go with Langi Tuima, who has been playing well for Quinns? She's been capped a number of times at 13. So yeah, I'm intrigued.
Obviously, we live in hope that you might stick your hand back up. Those knobbly thumbs could, you know, I'm sure do a job anyway.
Mate, I'm struggling carrying two plates at the moment. I don't think I'll be.
Right. We're 45 minutes into this pod. You've got 5 minutes left. And I know that you have been incredibly interested in the blowouts in Premiership Rugby. So we're going to finish on that.
No, it's interesting because there's been some massive massive score lines in the men's premiership. And I think there's been loads of debate and like constantly see it, like everyone going, oh, this is why you don't have relegation, you should have relegation because teams don't care. And that's a load of rubbish. Teams care, and players have got massive egos, so therefore they aren't going to go out to lose. Like, they're going to want to go out and play well.
It also ignores the European argument as well.
Yeah. So I think I don't agree with that. I think the thing for me is we are seeing a lot of an amazing attacking rugby, and have the shackles been lifted because there is slightly less pressure to make every moment count, potentially? Or are we seeing a different generation of coaches? So there's a whole thing at the moment about younger coaches, and I know BT Sport with, is it Sam Vesti? They did an interview. I think they did a, you know, mic'd him, and then Nate Alden did an interview. I missed it. But Sarah Elgin tweeted about it saying, if you're not watching, watch it. And I got on, I was like, oh God, yeah. And then missed it. But, you know, is there a different mindset with coaches? Don't know. I'm just interested to see, because you are seeing younger players in the Premiership, is this actually creating a more exciting version of the game? You've worked on under 20s. We talked about it a lot earlier with our the Mr. Fake. But, you know, when you watch the 20s World Cup, they are mental. It's like fast and furious, crazy. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's amazing rugby to watch, but it's like, it's painful sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. So actually, I'm interested, and I don't know whether anyone's talked about this. Maybe they've had big debates about it. I don't know. I live in the Highlands. But around the average age of squads, and the average age, not just of the squads, but actually the average age of the players that are getting decent minutes, because everyone is now talking about, well, these players have got to gain experience because all of these players are going off for international duty. Well, actually, are we inadvertently strengthening the depth of the game and bringing the level of rugby up, because we've got more players playing at a better level? Do you know what I mean? Which actually, as a senior player, when I was finishing, the younger players made me better, because I always had to make sure that I didn't just want to be that experienced player, I wanted to be better. So it was like, so actually, are we seeing this evolution of the game in a different way? I mean, I know, and I suppose the other thing is, you will see things differently with, as was Pro 14, there is a relegation in that.
Yeah, there's no relegation in URC. It's a big argument. I think the impact of a lack of relegation in URC is that, I don't know, it's a weird one. I personally don't think it removes jeopardy, because obviously European qualification is such a big thing. Unless teams will qualify out of URC, then out of Prem Rugby pro rata. But perhaps because there's no relegation is the reason that we don't see the biggest names play on a weekly basis. You know, I think the stat is that Brian O'Driscoll didn't play an away game in the league in the last four seasons of his career. He only played home games for Leinster. We see a lot of
decent
stat. I mean, if you can get that kind of work, I like my own bed, so I'd be very much looking for that kind of contract. But yeah, it's an interesting one. One thing I wanted to bring up is, obviously, there are things going on at Bath at the moment that, you know, it doesn't look good there. Stu Hooper has said that he has got the backing of Bruce Craig and the board if they were to look for a new coach. I would like to throw your hat in the ring. Now, hear me out. I think the kind of expansive thing that Bath need, you would be very good at. But also, I've heard that they get massive discounts on Dyson products. And I really want those new cordless straighteners. And I'd really like a handheld vac. So I just think this could be really mutually beneficial to both the Bath Rugby organization, you know, bring back the Watermen. Imagine, like, it writes itself, that story. It's Hollywood style, you know.
I mean, I can't believe you haven't brought up about my dad, but like,
this is what I mean. Can't you imagine, like, the beginning of the film is all about, you know, Jim
Dodge,
and it's all in black and white, and then it like cuts through to Dodge and this, like, you know, this coming of age story, and this story of, you know, she's from the wrong side of the tracks because she's a woman and she's going to be the first premiership coach, and they're doing it on a wing and a prayer. And meanwhile, in the background, the friend's straightening her hair with her new Dyson hair straighteners.
And then all of the, anyone that's watching the game has great hair.
Great hair.
Great hair. Great hair.
I mean, I'm going to actually, I might cut this out of the pod and just pitch it to Bath and
because I mean, I feel like maybe I should be coaching a 15 side for maybe a season or two before I go for a men's premiership.
Hey, don't talk yourself down. We've got this, kid.
Right. Before we leave, we have a competition. I have some stash to give away. Unfortunately, it is England stash at the moment, but we might be able to expand it. But the competition that I am putting out there for tryhards and other people, but mainly tryhards, because you lot are listening, and if you're still listening now, then you are avid tryhards, because we are right at the end of the pod. But during the 4 weeks of the women's autumn series for England, so we've got all of the different test matches, I am going to give away the stash, and I've obviously got a committee of support, Aldo, with who we decide. For the best picture on social media of you in your kit supporting the girls. Now, it could be a picture at one of the grounds if you're lucky enough to get tickets. It could be at home watching it on the BBC. It could be just wearing your favourite bit of stash and your nan's wearing it too, or whatever.
Yeah.
To say it is England stash that I have, but I might try and expand that to other nations.
I'll get on to the girls. See if the Welsh camp will give us anything. Do these people have to send us things in official England stash? Does it have to be Umbro stuff, or can it be a classic old England BT Salnet gears from a bygone era?
The more creative, the more old school, you know, modern stuff, brilliant. My career started in Gilbert.
I knew it was coming.
Maybe we could even... I'm thinking about Gilbert, getting in touch with Coxie, some of the referees, you could get some stash from them.
Yeah.
But there will be prizes for the best photographs. Obviously, you need to tag tryhards in. So we'll do hashtags autumn tryhards. There you go.
That's
the hashtag. Tag myself, tag LJ, follow her as well.
If I'm getting a vote in this, I think if you, just a little thing I'm going to put out there. Obviously, this is an England jersey competition. I will say my favourite England jersey is the Tropic, Hawaiian Tropic, Tequila Sunrise Sevens jersey. Mm. If someone's got one of those knocking around the back of their cupboard and they send me a picture of them wearing that at Sandy Park next week, ding, 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 I got a winner.
I actually am going to be...
not include you.
Well, I'm actually going to be staying at home, and my one when I played is at my mum's house. So maybe I could wear it pitch side with them if I'm going to be working there. That's not going to that bad boy. If it's Nike, which it is, you have to be pulled into that. And maybe I could get my arm into it as my body. But anyway, there is the competition. We have stash. So assigned an England women's Red Roses shirt. There are some other bits and pieces as well that I would chuck in. Maybe we could have a first, second prize. Get signed up to match point.
Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.